Is life making you anxious or stressed? You feel you'll explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California marriage and family therapist with a holistic approach, he's here for you with Tell the Truth Faster, now every Saturday at 1 p.m. Stuart will explore ways of helping you improve your life by identifying the truth about who you are. Access your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, now Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Independent 1310 KXAM. From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I am a licensed psychotherapist, and we're here every week to deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which is about finding balance between body, mind, and spirit, finding peace in that balance and clarity of purpose so that we can actually live how we were meant to live here in this lifetime. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. But the question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? Now, if any of you were hearing that lead-in, I don't mean to confuse you. This is not Saturday at 1 p.m. We need to re-record that. And this is Friday night, 7 p.m. in Phoenix on KXAM. And I'm really glad to be here with you tonight. And if you're driving, hopefully it'll help you drive home. And if you're listening at home, sit back and relax, because we're going to inspire you and excite you. Now, today's topic and my guest, Annie Lloyd, we will be talking about you are the leader you are seeking. Now, very often on this show, we talk about self-empowerment. We talk about connecting with the purpose that defines your life, and elevating that purpose so it really is resonating to who you are and who you're meant to be, even if you don't necessarily believe that yet. So I want to start by telling you a short story before I actually introduce Annie Lloyd to you. In January of 1990, I was one of 200 American delegates in Moscow for the second annual Soviet American Citizens Summit meeting. Now, it's a long story how I got there and why I got invited to participate in this, but when I got the packet with the invitation, I knew I had to come up with the money because I knew I had to go and I knew I had to do this. So the concept of the Soviet American Citizens Summit meetings was actually to bring together citizens, diplomats. In other words, bring your regular citizens from America and from the former Soviet Union together to discuss things, to talk, to connect, to find people of like mind, to put together businesses and nonprofits and projects and all sorts of things. And when I got there, one thing that became very clear to me very quickly was that Rama Vernon, who was one of the organizers of this, chose people very carefully. She chose leaders. And I know that intuitively, even as a child, even though I was shy and introverted, that I was a leader. I didn't know how to express it yet. And sometimes leadership is expressed subtly and not necessarily by standing up and giving speeches. But I know when I got there that all of us there were leaders. All of us were invited because we were willing to step out of the comfort zone. We were willing to do something different. We were willing to dialogue when the politicians and the political leaders were not willing to dialogue. And what Rama Vernon and the other organizers had in mind and what they accomplished along with the rest of us was just that. Things started moving forward. Out of my trip there, I ended up with Corinne Brown starting the Soviet American, or the Institute for Better Health, actually, it was called. And then out of that grew an organization that I sprung off into called the International AIDS Project. And that, to me, was almost like a coming out of leadership, a coming out of having the excitement of taking the risks and experiencing the productivity that came out of that, and the adventures that came out of that over the next few years were just amazing, things I never dreamed I'd ever experience. And it set the tone and helped lay a foundation for a belief system within myself that I've been able to, through this radio show and through my practice as a psychotherapist, and just by being myself and being in the world as who I am, realize that my job as a leader is to help everyone else wake up to the fact that they're all leaders also. So with that setting the tone for what we're doing here today, I want to introduce to you Annie Lloyd. Annie Lloyd is a lecturer and definitely a visionary from what I've read about her on the websites. She and her bio reads, is a woman of uncommon insight whose lifelong passion for and commitment to civil rights and issues of generational poverty are helping to create a world in which our humanity and unity are shared and celebrated. She's a gifted and popular public speaker. She inspires her audiences with her special blend of humor and her insightful perspective. Annie, I really want to welcome you to the show tonight.
Thank you for so much.
Are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Wade, do I have Annie online?
I'm here.
Yeah, you do. I don't know if you can hear. There might be a problem. Hold on just a minute.
Okay. Please be patient with us. We've got a little technical stuff. We actually, I'm using a new piece of equipment tonight for the first time. It's called a Comrex Hotline, which actually, even though I'm calling from a telephone, sounds like I'm at a microphone in the studio, doesn't it? So, well, I'll keep speaking until we get Annie, and Wade, let me know when Annie is actually able to speak with me. So, there is a phrase called natural-born leaders.
Are you there?
And this is where I was going to open up with Annie, and I know when she and I are able to talk directly, we'll talk about this. You've heard the phrase, a natural-born leader. He or she is just such an inspiration. And you look at teachers sometimes point to some of their young students, and they're able to say, this kid's going to grow up to be a leader. Look at the way he handles all these other students, a real natural-born leader. And the reality to me is all of us have that natural inclination towards leadership. Some of us is just closer to the surface, and some of us need a little help in waking ourselves up to it. But natural-born leader is something that applies to us all. Do we have Annie yet? Okay. So when we're talking about that, some of you may relate to this. Some of you may know that you felt this. As you hear me talking about it, you may say, you know what, that's the sense of myself that I've had, or people always told me that about me. So the question is, what have you done with it? Ah, Annie, you there? Annie?
Hi, how are you doing, Stuart?
There we go. Thanks for your patience, Annie, and to my listeners. We're trying to get the bugs out of this new piece of equipment, and I really want to welcome you, and thanks for being so patient, Annie.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be on your show tonight. I just loved your introduction. That was just wonderful.
Good. I'm glad you were able to hear me, even though I wasn't able to hear you. I know that from your website, you talked about Barbara Marks Hubbard and others. She was at that Citizens Summit meeting, and
right. The
people I got to meet were just incredible. Talk about leadership to us. I know that this is a topic of a workshop you do called Be the Leader You've Been Waiting for. So what is leadership about to you?
Well, it's what you described. It's us stepping into our own power. It's us identifying within ourselves what our passion is and then living that every day. So for some people, it's picking up trash along the side of the road. For other people, it's running for politics. For other people, it's developing socially conscious, socially evolved businesses as Barbara Marks Hubbard and myself do. For others, it's being a psychotherapist like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to demonstrate to people through our actions that there are possibilities, that there are opportunities. And instead of feeding into a culture of fear, they see us expressing themselves, and in turn they have a mirror that says to them, hey, I can do this too. What we've witnessed so many times is being, is this, you know, that the basketball players are leaders, that the politicians are leaders, that the celebrities are leaders, and we get a very skewed understanding of what leadership is. And leadership is a smile, is a handshake, is a thank you and saying please. It can be as simple as that. At the far end, it can be the willingness to bring countries together, as happened in Russia, as happens with what we do in a day-to-day basis. We were recently down in New Orleans. We've been working down there a lot. And we didn't wait for permission from FEMA or the government to come down there.
Exactly,
we were invited down by individuals, and so we went down and we said, what can we do to help you? And some groups needed a defibrillator, you know, for heart. Other groups needed help with housing. Others needed help with clearing out trash. Others needed first aid equipment. And so we came back here and matched our resources with what their needs are. That's leadership. Mm-hmm. Stepping into
Definitely.
Our own power.
Yeah, because I had a friend of mine who lives in New Orleans. She and her husband, actually, I had difficulty finding them the first week after the hurricane, and we finally connected. And I had them both on the show to talk about the realities of what's going on there. And Kira Mosley and her husband, Derek Pozniak, are incredible people. And Kira is one of these people that makes a difference in the world through outward expression. She's been involved with nonprofits globally as well as locally, and what she did, and you know, luckily their house with some holes in the roof survived. She went back there and immediately started setting up a daycare center for everyone, where there would be counseling for those that were traumatized. There would be a place for the kids to go so that the parents, you know, could get back to work. There'd be a place for the parents or the teenagers to go. I mean, it's an amazing thing that she does, but she is an example of an amazing leader. And to me, one example of an amazing leader is someone who sets the pace by example and inspires through that.
Mm-hmm.
And motivates others to look inward to do the same. And that's, I really think, a big piece of what we're talking about here in leadership.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That it inspires us to step up to the plate and do the best job that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in this culture today that, unfortunately, many of our leaders create an environment of fear. So it makes us believe, it leads us to believe that there are so many problems in the world that it is insurmountable, that we're unable to do anything. We did a
That they're the only ones that can solve the problems.
Exactly. We did a very extensive survey, and at the end of the day, over 95% of the people said that they had a desire to make a difference and help people. They just didn't know what to do. Ironically, over 80% of these people were already doing things that we considered to be leadership roles, but they did not identify. Less than 10% of the individuals surveyed identified as leaders.
For example, what was some of the things that you identified with them that they didn't get was contributing in a leadership way?
Well, you know, the women that were, that took their kids to soccer practice and participated in the soccer team, sat on the PTA, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
that, you know, volunteered at a homeless shelter, that volunteered at a domestic violence shelter, that, you know, were teaching, tutoring kids. You know, all of those things are leadership roles. What mm-hmm. we encourage people to do is to say, you see needs every single day. What is a particular need that you have identified that you have a passion with? And once identified, let us help you fulfill your personal passion and meet that need.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about...
Well, even... Go ahead. Well, even the parent, like you said, that is... taking the kids to soccer practice, they may not see that as leadership, but what they're doing by example to their children and the other kids and parents that see them doing that with such passion and enjoying it and stuff is showing those kids, leading those kids into a consciousness of what parenthood is about that's nurturing and supportive. That's a leader as a parent.
Absolutely. It's the artist that paints beautiful murals on a blank cement wall that
mm-hmm.
puts a smile on our face and inspires our heart to sing. It's the musician with the song. And, you know, down in New Orleans, it's the musician that's playing the saxophone on the corner of the street at 5:30 in the morning. You know, that, all of those things, those passions, those raising of the consciousness is what we look to highlight going on in our society currently today, the people that are taking action. I hear so many people talking about that we need to impeach the president, we need to do all these things. I say, but what are you going to do next then? What are the solutions? And that's what we look for. What are the solutions? And the leader is out there looking for a solution and instead of continuing to highlight what the problem is.
I agree, totally. I want to remind my listeners that this is a live show tonight, and if you want to call in and ask Annie or myself a question or contribute to the conversation in any way, the number in Phoenix is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. And if you're listening on the Internet, as I know many of you are, same number, 480-949-1310. I want to get back to the children for a minute. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Remember, just before you finally got on the line with me, I was talking about what a lot of teachers look at and say to people, there's a natural-born leader when they look at that 6-year-old or that 8-year-old. Talk about, you know, because we see kids coming up with ideas. I mean, you know, we saw kids rising to the top and doing collections for Katrina or going door-to-door to raise money for it. The kids didn't have to be told by their parents this is the right thing to do. There's that innocent, natural, intuitive knowingness of what's right and what's wrong. Talk about those natural-born leaders as those kids are identified and how we can nurture that in all children.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that because, you know, to create a culture of peace requires creativity. And we know that as our kids are raised, that they lose their creativity. And our belief is, and it has been statistically proven time and time and time again, that what kids hold is this innocence and looking at a problem and go, well, why can't we do this? And the natural-born leaders that we so often identify with our kids, unfortunately, we don't always see it with other kids, and those are the kids oftentimes that are not identified that even are more creative.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I'm referring to is our kids that have, you know, so many kids get identified as having ADD right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are statistics out there, research that has been done. These kids are bored. They're bored. You know, we don't have arts and culture and music and physical education like we used to in our school system that creates the opportunity for kids to develop problem-solving skills and critical thinking skills that then allow them to excel at art, are at science and math and writing and reading and all of that. And so when we focus on our leaders, our kids today, it's so important to allow them to have the opportunities to paint and to draw and to sing and to dance and to play musical instruments and to participate in physical activities, be it, you know, ballet to basket weaving to playing lacrosse and soccer. Because those are the true skills, those creativity skills that develop the necessary, again, critical thinking and problem solving that is a real leader. Again, because we're looking for the solution, not concentrating on the fear-ridden problem.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your
question?
Yeah,
definitely. And I want to add one thing to it, because as a therapist, what I see with a lot of the adults I work with, and as I experienced in my own life, one of the things that keep the adults shut down is as children, they were never asked for their opinions.
Yes.
As children, you know, as the adults say, you know, do as I say, not as I do, or
right.
Do this because I say so, or we're going to do this because as your parent, this is what we're going to do. Instead of probing a child to say, what do you think about this? How do you feel about what you're seeing on the TV? What idea might you have? To really encourage that kind of critical thinking, but also the confident expression of the critical thoughts that they're having.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the reasons why we see kids that normally have a difficult time in the structure of our atypical schools today and our atypical education system just thrive in Montessori schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have that opportunity. You know, the only thing that is unique to all of us as individuals is our expression, our own individual expression. And we can call that our own individual divinity or our passion or, you know, our consciousness. But that is what's unique to each one of us. And that is where all of us are required, are responsible. It is necessary for the evolution of our country, of our communities, of our globe, for us to show up with our individual talents. It's so vital that the artist gets to paint, that the singer gets to sing, that the ballerina gets to dance, that the scientist gets to do their research. It's so vital that we get the opportunity to live what our true passion is.
Well, how do you find out what your true passion is? Because I know that's a recurring theme on this show, and in a lot of my sessions, I want to hear your catch on that. If people who are feeling lost, how do you guide them to help explore and determine what their true passion and purpose is?
Well, I'm such a big believer in give it a try. my attitude has always been people will come to me. I coached for a long time, and people would come to me, and they go, well, you know, I'm thinking about I kind of like to sing. We'll go down and sing. Go find a karaoke place somewhere and start singing and see how it works for you. Oh, okay. Now, don't quit your day job while you're doing it.
Well,
you know,
right.
I really thought about going back to school, and I thought I'd like to be an attorney. Well, have you considered taking some classes towards that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I'd like to work in the desert. Well, go volunteer at the Desert Botanical Garden. You know, try it out.
Mm-hmm.
We are so concerned with what other people think about us. We are consumed with it. You know, I say, you know, when Reagan came into the White House, we literally became a whitewashed country. Our
mm-hmm.
homes were painted white. You know, we had all these community developments created that every rooftop looked the same. And individual expression has not been encouraged. And it's time that we support each other in exploring our individual expression. We're very critical mm-hmm. of each other. What do you mean you're quitting your job? You went to school all this time. How can you dare leave being an attorney and go work for a nonprofit? Well, gosh darn it, if that's what you're compelled to do, go do it, man.
Mm-hmm. I have a story I've told a couple of times on the show before. When I was still living in South Florida before I moved to Los Angeles, I had this attorney as a client, and he was having difficulty passing the bar. He comes from a family of attorneys, and he went to law school because that was what was expected of him.
Sure.
And I could tell, and it was so clear how unhappy he was and how he didn't really want to pass the bar, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I did the usual workshop type of thing. Put down the 10 things you enjoy doing the most.
Right.
Make a list of them. And out of that list, I mean, scuba diving was on there, photography was on there, and all these, and a number of things that he does very well and loves doing. And he ended up passing the bar and then quitting law and becoming an underwater photographer.
I love it.
And a successful one.
Sure.
And you know, he just, yeah.
There's that old saying, follow the passion and the money will come.
Exactly. It's even the title of a book.
Yeah, we've become a very greedy society.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Thoreau, I think it's so ironic that it's such a great time in our history right now to go back to Emerson and go back to Thoreau and Kennedy and Gandhi, because it is essential that we simplify our lives, because the fear is continued when we continue to try to keep up with everybody. Does that make sense?
Okay, yes. Yes, it makes total sense.
And so
I want to take it a little bit, can we get a little bit more personal with this? Because the listeners really haven't had a chance to find out who you are and how you got to where you are today. So what's your background and what changes happened in your life as these things woken up in you?
You know, I'm originally from South Dakota, and I'm the oldest child of four, and I'm the only girl. And I grew up in South Dakota at a time where there were terrible struggles with the Native American community up there. And my background is, Canadian French, and I kept looking at this going, you know, something's just not right. And I didn't know exactly what it was, but I just knew it wasn't right. And I became involved in the AIDS movement right at the beginning of the 80s, right? In fact, 1982. Mm. I had my first friend die of AIDS. And again, it didn't make any sense to me the way they were treating people at all. That
yeah,
they would not allow people into the hospitals, that they, you know, would lay in their own, you know, mess, and, oh, it was just awful. And so I took off and I went to California. And over the years, I spent over 12 years working in mental health, primarily with adolescents, and became one of the, I hate the word expert, but became very proficient at working with youth in gangs in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up on the Youth Gang Task Force and sitting on the Women's Commission to Rebuild L.A. shortly after the riots in Los Angeles.
Oh, so you were here when I moved here in 86.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually I ended up out in Phoenix. An interesting part of my story is that in 1992 I got sober. Now, for me, I was not your typical falling down drunk. In fact, when I sobered up, it came as a big surprise to anybody that I was even an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And had a love for narcotics and prescriptions and smoking a little of that weed. So, and at that beginning, when that happened, up till that point in my life, I'd gone through that transformation of being raised in a real strong religious background, had left that background, had come into studying Buddhism, and that transformed into really becoming a student of Taoism in 92. And over the last 13 years, everything has fallen into place, in that people so oftentimes accused me of having no focus in my life. And yet what I came to realize is that I always did have a focus, and the focus was always about social justice. It was always about the fact that if we don't address the issues of poverty, it's the poverty of spirit, because that was what my issue was. My personal dilemma was always that I really showed up and tried to do the best job that I could, and yet I continued to fail at it. And I failed at it because I did it in according to the expectations of everybody else, not in according to what would make me personally happy and do the best job that I could as an individual. And then I further realized that I was connected to the world in a way that didn't seem to be supported in the communities in which I lived. And so slowly I would find teachers and I would find mentors that really helped me along the way to have me understand that my personal journey, although it would feel lonely at times, I would meet many people along the way that were doing the same thing. And, of course, that's come to great fruition in the last 5 years in particular. And the more times I showed up to help other people, whether it was, you know, emceeing a fundraising event for AIDS or helping out with breast cancer, whatever it was, I always felt better. And each time I was willing to show up and do things that I didn't want to do, I felt better and got stronger. And so in working with individuals and working with recovering alcoholics and working with people laden in poverty of one sort or the other, I had the opportunity to come in touch with so many people that were very, very wealthy. And I found that, you know, they hated their lives just as much as the drug addict on the street did. And probably even more. Because they had no purpose. And they didn't feel like they were making a difference. They hated just writing the check. They wanted to see where their personal contribution made a difference. And so I started getting them involved in things. So I'd bring them down to, you know, help them, you know, hand out food to people or, you know, take them over to hospice and get them involved in that. And their lives began to transform. And, you know, one thing has really led to the other. And a year and a half ago, we started Fusion with the understanding that when we identified needs and matched them with available resources, that there were so many resources out there that it was just so difficult for people to find the best resource. And that became our mission, is to find the
best
resources out
there. Talk about Fusion. What does Fusion do?
Fusion is a social entrepreneurial network, and we are a repository. So we identify needs. We encourage people to bring needs to us. And the needs can be as complicated as world peace, literally, or as simple as, Annie, we need streetlights fixed down in New Orleans. And because of our vast network that has been established today, we can literally get on the phone and create opportunities for those solutions to occur. So we have people working all over the world in international peace movements. We are connected with, you know, scientists that are developing zero-point energy in hydrogen cars. You know, we can identify educational facilities that are really doing a great job with kids today of all ages and of all learning abilities. And it's just really happened by taking one foot, putting it in front of the other. Mother Teresa used to say, she'd say, I know what I'm doing, get out of my way. If you're here to talk about it with me, then I don't have time to talk about it. But if you're here to help me, great, let's get going.
Right.
And that's really become our attitude. Look, we know what we're doing, get out of our way. You know, we don't have time to ask permission anymore or to wait until it's perfect.
Now, I know that there are people listening to this show who, what you're saying is really resonating for them. What we're talking about is really resonating for them. You use the word that it's a lonely journey sometimes when, you know, you start on a path that may be different than what people expect of you. So there's a lot of people who have ideas that they're afraid to verbalize because they're afraid of the judgments that people will have. So what I'm saying to those of you who are listening, you now have a place to call or go online to thefusion.info, that's F-U-S-I-O-N, and you might have an idea that when you email to them or get in touch with Annie or somebody who answers the phone and say, look, I have this idea, they more than likely will be able to say, oh, you know what, there's somebody in Minnesota who's thinking of something similar, let's hook you up. And I'm assuming that, Annie, that's part of what you do.
That's exactly what we do.
So don't feel so lonely on this journey. No idea happens in a vacuum. Any idea you're having, others around the world are having it, and very likely around the same time.
One of the best pieces of advice that I was ever given by a mentor was, Annie, you have no original ideas, nor do you have any original thoughts. If you have it, at least 100,000 other people have it, and at the same time. And it allowed me to go, oh, okay. And one, it puts the ego into check and allows you to have some humility in your life, which is always good. And the other thing, again, it reminds you that it's okay. You're not alone. And you will run into the people with like-mindedness somewhere along the road. Don't give up until that miracle happens. And, you know, our friend Marianne Williamson always says, you know, in the Course in Miracles, it talks that all a miracle is a change in perception. It's a new pair of glasses. It's a different way of looking at the same thing that you've looked at so many times before, only looking at it differently now.
And Marianne's an incredible example of having an idea, putting it out there, and working on helping it manifest. Because back in 88, 89, she started this thing called the LA Center for Living.
Right.
And when I heard about it, I was actually hired by her to be the first executive director of that for the first year in its existence. And the whole place was filled with people finding their passion and finding their power. And that was really, I mean, it was for people dealing with the issue of death and dying and potentially life-threatening illness and supporting and loving in so many ways. But what started happening is it started to become an inspiration for people to do so many other things.
Yep.
Even some of the people who were showing up with AIDS or showing up with Agent Orange issues or other things, they very often would have ideas of their own or have had them and felt safe there to start talking to us about it.
Absolutely. You know, and in Taoism, we talk about that ripple effect, which is what you're talking about, the domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I recently was out in New York for the march for United for Peace and Justice out in New York City last weekend. And people said to me, they said, you know, I'm so glad that you're going because I can't go, but I know that it's kind of like me going because you're going and I know you. And you know, that I have to be reminded of that on a regular basis because I forget that. You know, we don't operate in a vacuum. That what we do has a tremendous ripple effect throughout not just our own local communities, but statewide and throughout the world. That's that raising of that consciousness.
Definitely. And you know, when you come together with even one other person who supports an idea you have, or you hear something that they have an idea about and you like it, it increases the energy around that idea and attracts even more people into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you mentioned earlier also about your own sobriety in 1992, because I do a lot of addictions counseling, and I have for 30 years. And very often, when people are struggling to get sober, you know, if I'm counseling them or I have friends dealing with this, very often in the sobriety starts flowing out of them all the things that they have been told to repress in terms of ideas, in terms of how they really see themselves in the world but don't have the confidence or the self-esteem to really believe in themselves enough to put it forward. And I think getting sober for many of them is the first thing they've ever done that they really said, oh, my God, I did this, which gives them a little bit more confidence to take another step into trying on something else. So I really encourage people who are in recovery or trying to get into recovery to find those people that feel the same way, that have that are looking to join forces for an inspirational journey and travel with them. And that's really what recovery is about anyway, isn't it?
It is. It's a spiritual journey.
Yes.
You know, of course, I think our, you know, it's a very overused phrase, but, you know, we're human beings, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. You know, and the point is to have the human experience, remembering that we are connected with the divine or God or, you know, whatever we want to refer to it as. And and for the atheists that are out there listening, you know, we can utilize it as science or energy or whatever we want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of it has been established. We know that if you put your hands up to a glass of water and I put my hands up to a glass of water, that it's going to look different when we take a picture of it. And the energy force is going to be different because we all have our own imprint, you know, per se. And in that connection, like you talk about, whether it's in recovery or it's in our day-to-day life, that's why I talk to people about smiling. You know, put your head up and smile at each other. That in and of itself is an exchange of energy, of positive energy. And every time we do that, we positively influence our world. Every time we do that, every time we say please or thank you or open a door, extend a hand of kindness,
mm-hmm.
we are being a leader in the world. It's that simple.
Yes, and like you've been saying and we've been saying, leadership does not have to mean you get to the microphone. Leadership can be something very subtle and very internal, and it brings you peace, and it brings you like you said, when you started doing things, you felt better. That's the
sure.
key. If what Absolutely. You're doing is making you feel better as opposed to making you feel more shameful or embarrassed or angry or scared or all those things, if it makes you feel better and you know that that feeling better is not a numbing effect, that the
right.
feeling better actually right. elevates you,
right.
then you know you're on the right track, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, that's our barometer. And in the feeling better, what we're talking about is not the quick solution. You know, it's not the solution that you get from taking a pill or taking a drink or, you know, a quick escapade with, you know, somebody somewhere. It's that sustainable feeling, that warm fuzzy in the pit of our gut that puts a smile on our face and you go, wow, that was really cool. And mm-hmm. it sustains us. It revitalizes us. It energizes us. And it makes us want to go, oh, I really want to share this with somebody. And it brings out our best attributes. It allows us to be more focused in the work that we do. It allows us to be kinder and gentler to the people around us. And those are our barometers. How are we acting with the people in our normal day-to-day lives? How are we treating ourselves? Are we taking care of ourselves? You know, are we doing what we need to do for our physical health and you know, because it's all interconnected. I always laugh about when people talk about body, mind, and spirit as though they're not connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all connected, guys. You
right.
can't do something for your body and not affect your mental state and your spiritual state. You can't do something for your spiritual state without affecting your mental and your body. You know,
right.
so it's intra-connected, not just interconnected. It's
mm-hmm.
intra-connected. It is going to affect one area of who you are, of your community, of the world, no matter what. So what kind mm-hmm. of an impact do you want to have?
And what kind of an impact do you not want to have? Because
we have
examples of leaders, you know, and I think this is another important point when we're talking about leadership, is there are a lot of people out there leading, and they're not necessarily leading in a way that's healing. You know, we talk about, you know, Osama bin Laden or Jim Jones or some of our current politicians. There are a lot of people who will follow those leaders because of an ideology and feel uncomfortable about it the whole journey and not willing to say, you know what, you know, I know my whole family kind of agrees with this guy, but I don't.
Well,
and
I think
to realize, go ahead.
I think that there's two different perspectives to take. I think there's several perspectives of it. One, I'm going to use our current president as an example.
You're welcome to.
I think that the distress that some people feel about his leadership in the country is creating an opportunity for people to step up that have not been willing to step up before. It is creating an opportunity for people to consider, you know, what do I really want and what are my values? What really are my family values?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're seeing one thing said and a different action taken. So they're having an opportunity to contemplate things in their life that they hadn't before. And so I think that's
mm-hmm.
very important. I think another aspect of it is that still at the end of the day, the leaders that are doing what it is that they're doing are still doing the best job that they can do with the tools that they have available to them at the time.
Right.
And why I point that out is because it is not for me to sit and criticize our president if I'm not willing to be part of the solution.
Right.
It
that
does
old
mean
saying,
no
if you're not
good.
Part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Precisely. Precisely. So, you know, I'm not a big believer. Lord knows I can get on a soapbox, and I've never met a microphone that I didn't want to talk in. But I think it's really important that we don't become couch potato politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we want to see something different, then we must be willing to be part of co-creating that something different. Mm-hmm. We must be part of the evolution of democracy. You know, we've had our revolution. It's not about having another revolution. We had our revolution. And as we went into the 70s and into the 80s and then slowly into the 90s, we went into our cocoon. And we reconsidered, and it, you know, it ran around inside of us, kind of like the pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're all breaking out. It's like the little chick that is pecking at the inside of the shell, saying, "Let me out, let me out, let me out." And we're waiting that war cry to say, you know, "I'm free at last, I'm free at last." And there's a lot of us that feel that today. I feel that. I feel free to live who I am. And
well, I think AIDS also was one of those situations that brought people out of that shell out of necessity. And a lot of people became leaders that in their lives never thought they'd ever be a leader in the political sense, in the emotional sense, in the inspirational sense. It was one of those things that necessity helps create sometimes.
Well,
you know, and go ahead.
You know, I'm thinking about, I'm going to the Body Positive dinner next weekend here in Phoenix. And I think of when Body Positive was first started and the shoestring budget that there was.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're able to accomplish today and all the clinical trials that they participate in and the wonderful service that they continue to provide not to this local community but to across the country and the research that they perform is unbelievable. And to see the gentlemen that were nurses in the hospital leading the organization today and how far it has come is just such a great example of what we can do when we step up to the plate with our passions to say, this is important to me and I'm going to make a difference here. Mm-hmm. And never give up.
It reminds me of what's been happening around the country, and particularly here in L.A. the last few weeks around the immigration issue. And no matter what you really believe about the immigration issue, I've been dumbfounded by these people who say that these students should not be out marching and making their voices heard. It's like this is what this country's about, and they have something to say, and to tell them they can't miss a few hours of school because it's not right to miss the school in order to express yourself and to make a point is crazy. It's the same thing as what we went through back in the 60s and 70s with a lot of our protests. And I firmly believe that if we had a draft today, you would be seeing most of the college students out there at these peace marches that you don't see right now because it's not close enough to home, like AIDS became or like this immigration thing became.
Well, and, you know, we're seeing a lot of people take to the streets, and I love it. I love it for so many reasons. I love it because across the world they're finally looking at us. And I was down when I was down in New Orleans for the march about a month ago, the hotel that I stay in is wonderful. It's down in the quarters. And there were several Europeans there, and they said, you know, I have to tell you, I'm so glad to see Americans marching because we really thought you agreed with everything that was going on. So I'm like,
well, but that's the way it's reported over there, I'm sure. You know?
You know, look, the reality is that homeland security literally begins in our homes with inside of ourselves.
Right.
It begins with inside of ourselves. I feel safe every place that I go. And the illusions that are being unveiled today, the illusions that are being smashed today, give us an opportunity to reconsider what we want from our lives, what really is important. And when I simplified my life and said, you know, look, my friends are what's important, my really close-knit group of friends. I know a lot of people, as I'm sure you do. And I can choose to go out to many different events, or I can stay at home and really experience the wonderfulness of my few close friends. And those are my mm-hmm. choices today.
And you can do both.
Or you can do both. Sure.
At different times, you could choose one or the other, depending on what your own needs are.
But it's about meeting those needs. You know, I think that's so difficult. You know, how many relationships do we know of people that are so disappointed and they say, well, I really want to go do this, but so-and-so won't let me do it. Well, come on, guys. If you're not taking care of yourself, how can you possibly show up and be the best person that you can in this relationship for your partner, for your family, for whomever it is? It's all about our individual passion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have maybe about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we talk enough about the website and the organization, The Fusion. If somebody wants to get involved with a project or wants to see what Fusion is involved with, how could they get in touch with you or the organization?
You know, the best way to get in touch with us is send us an email. Send it directly to me if you want, Annie@thefusion.info. And to give a little side note, we utilize the ending as info because we're about information.
Mm-hmm.
We're not about commerce. We're not about networking. We're about truly brokering information. Think of us as a bank. You know, we take in the deposits of what the needs are, and we hand out the loans of the resources. That's what we are. We're a repository where we're constantly looking for who's doing the best job. And we have WorldCare down here in Tucson that can deliver emergency disaster relief services ongoing on a regular basis throughout the world. And it's out of Tucson, Arizona. You know, they were there with the tsunami. They were there with Hurricane Katrina, Rita and Wilma. They're over in Africa building health clinics, and they do it for next to nothing. They have something like a less than a 2% waste in their organization. Those are the organizations that we look for. We look for Common Ground, the Common Ground Collective down in New Orleans that has the free health clinic down there and is down there cleaning up the Ninth Ward. We look at the International Department of Peace Initiative and the Peace Alliance with Marianne Williamson. There are so many amazing organizations that you can get involved with, CARE on an international basis. Those are the organizations that we look to promote, that we look to help. We get the message out, so we write a lot of articles. There's always opportunities. If you're a writer, send us your writings. We'll do our best to get it published. If you're a poet, send us your poetry. If you're a musician, send us your music. If you do video, send us that. Send us your information. Whatever your expression is, we will do our best to get it delivered out there. That's who we are.
There was something on your website I actually want to read now that we're near the end of the show, and it is titled, It Is Us and It Is Now. Mm. And it reads, we acknowledge the individual urgency to take immediate and collective action. The time is now to tap into our own potential and our own purpose for being. The time is now for investing in the future. The time is now to participate in the synergy of collective and collaborative creativity. The time is now to demonstrate through our actions that we have the power to manifest paradigm shifts in our daily lives, thereby creating global change. The time is now to lead through our actions. The time is now to embrace we are here for a particular reason with a specific purpose. We exist to provide structure and support in the development and creation of a world as we grow in body, mind, and spirit creatively and collaboratively. That seems to sum up your organization. It seems to sum up what we're talking about in leadership. And I'm glad I printed it out because I find it just says it beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Did you write it?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Glad I read it. I'm even more pleased that I read it now.
Yeah, well, because I have great editors, too, so we have to give them.
Well, that's about collaboration, right?
It absolutely is. It is the time.
Well,
the time is now.
There are a number of things I want to thank you for. I want to thank you for taking the time on a Friday night to be on the show.
Welcome.
And I want to thank you for being the inspiration that you are. And I want to thank you for being that that collaborator, that networker, that person that sets by example what is possible when we get past our fear.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What a pleasure.
So, glad. I'd love to have you back again. If you have anything comes up at any time, call into the show or be a guest again. I'd love to continue this conversation.
Well, thank you so much, and namaste.
Namaste to you, too. So I want to thank again Annie Lloyd for taking her time to be on Tell the Truth Faster tonight. I want to thank my listeners who often or sometimes I've been getting emails from some of you. If you have comments, if you forget how to reach Annie, you can always go to tellthetruthfaster.com. That's tellthetruthfaster.com. And my archives are now current and caught up, and this show will be archived within the week. So if you want anybody to listen to this show or any others in the past, feel free to go there. So this is Stuart Altshuler on Tell the Truth Faster, KXAM 1310 AM in Phoenix, saying have a great weekend and see you next Friday.
That I heard of once.